Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin preaches on a new series called Imagine a Church. Join us as we look to the future of Temple Baptist Church and that its best days are ahead of us.
But good morning. It's an exciting time as we begin 2019, but it's also an exciting time to be a part of Temple Baptist Church. God is doing great things in our midst. And I want to say a special word to a couple of groups of people this morning as we begin. First, if you have joined or began attending our church in the last year, I just want to say thank you. We are so glad that you've joined us and began attending with us. If there's anything that we can do to help you feel more at home here at Temple, we would love to do it. So we're just so glad that you're a part of our family here at Temple. And so if you've started coming in the last year in 2018, we want to praise God for that. And we're so glad that you're here. The other group I want to say a word to is those who have been here for a while. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in attending worship. Thank you for your faithfulness in Sunday school. Thank you for serving in our kids' ministry. Thank you for serving in our quilt ministry, as a deacon, as a Sunday school teacher. We are so thankful for your service in student ministry. We're thankful for your service in the audiovisual team. We're so thankful for all of you that have been here for a while, and we are so thankful for all that you've done for our church in 2018. But I also want to say thank you for your generous gifts, tithes, and offerings over 2018. I'm so grateful because this year we were able to take in more money than any year in the history of Temple Baptist Church. We are so thankful for your generous gifts and tithes and offerings. We praise God for you and for your generous hearts. And so we are so excited about what God is going to do in 2019. So we just want to begin by saying thank you and praising God for what he's done in 2018. But before we dive into our sermon this morning, will you pray with me? And will you not just pray with me, but will you pray for me? Will you bow with me? And this morning, will you pray that I will be faithful to the message God has entrusted me? Will you pray that I will be clear? Will you pray that I will be helpful to you and to those around you? Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word, for giving us these moments, these precious moments together this morning. This moment will only happen once and we'll never get it back. But you have appointed for us to be here in this moment. So, Father, I pray that you will keep our hearts from distractions. Keep our mind focused on you and what you have to teach us. Father, I pray that every person here walks out more inspired, more ready to follow you than they did when they came in. Help us all, even if it's in a small way, take a step in our maturity in Christ. Father, we pray this morning that your word will come to us sharp, piercing, challenging us, encouraging us. Father, we pray that your spirit will move this morning in our hearts, conforming us more to the heart of Christ. Father, we pray that you'll do big things by the power of the Spirit. In the same power that raised Christ from the dead, if there is someone in this room who does not know Christ as Savior, we pray that the Spirit will raise them to new life even this morning. Father, we look forward to all that you're going to do today. We pray all of this in the strong name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin 2019, we stand in a time of great opportunity in the history of our church. Therefore, we're going to take a few weeks to dream together, to look at what God might do in the days to come. Because we know that if God does not do this, it will all be in vain. And so we acknowledge upfront and clearly this morning that there is nothing that we can do to build the church, that Christ must be the one who does it. He's happy to use us, and we want to be used by him, but if he does not build his church, it will be in vain. And so this morning, we want to stop and pause, and I want to ask you to do something with me. I want to ask you to imagine a church. Imagine a church. It's not that hard. It's actually easy for us to imagine a church. We all have an idea in our minds of what a church is, or what a church should be, what it should look like. We all have an idea of church in our heads, that when we hear the term church, there's something we think of. Maybe it's a past experience. Maybe it's this experience. Maybe it's a church you visited when you were on vacation or with your family. But we all have an idea of what church is. And we all imagine the church to be a certain way. This became clear to me in a conversation I had last week with my uncle. My uncle came and visited our church. He came to visit for Christmas, came and sat right there on that row. Many of y'all probably met him. My uncle came and he experienced our church. And you have to know a little bit about my uncle. He has been a part of churches sporadically and most recently attended with my grandma at Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. But to understand why this is significant, you have to understand something about Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. It's located on Possum Holler Drive. That means it's on a dirt road that's turned off another dirt road. You look up country church in the dictionary, Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church is it. When I attended there with my grandma as a teenager, I was surprised that during the service, there was a scheduled smoking break. Sorry to disappoint y'all, we do not have one of those. And I'm thinking, what is going on? It was comical, but that's where he had attended last, and so that was his experience. You can imagine the church on the dirt road with the wood paneling on the walls, and the preacher who always begins with a tie but doesn't end the sermon with a tie, if you know what I mean. And so if you've never been to a church like that, probably not the time to start, all right? So just going to, but it's an interesting experience. And so he this was very different for him. And so he came, he enjoyed it. He said, Brady, do y'all not have one of those boards? One of those boards? What are you talking about? Like bulletin board? No, one of those boards. He says, you know, one of those boards that keeps the attendance and the number of Bibles brought and the hymn numbers on it? Some of y'all remember those. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Y'all should visit Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church sometime. It's on Possum Holler Drive. And so, but he said, how do you do church without that board? Because for him, when he imagined a church, he could not imagine a church without the attendance board. But if we're honest, my uncle has an idea about church, but if we're honest, so do we. We all have an idea of what church should be or what church should look like, and we all think about it in different ways. We may remember a time fondly of growing up and sitting beside a grandparent singing a beloved hymn. Maybe you've attended a church in the Metroplex and thought, I wish my church could be more like that. But what if I told you that the most important thing this morning isn't how you imagine church to be? What if I told you it's not most important how I imagine the church to be? What if I told you that the most important thing this morning is how Jesus imagines his church to be? And so in this series over the next few weeks, what we want to do is we want to stop and pause and ask the question, how does Jesus imagine his church to be, to look? What does he think? And so we'll open the Bible each week and ask from his word, how does Jesus imagine his church to be? And this morning, we want to begin by asking the question, can you imagine a church whose best days are ahead? Can you imagine a church whose best days are ahead? At Temple, we are a church with a rich, rich legacy. We stand on the shoulders of spiritual giants who have gone before us. But as rich as our legacy is, I stand before you as your pastor, and I truly believe our best days are ahead. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, will you turn to Matthew chapter 16 this morning? You may be thinking, Pastor, I know you're young, idealistic, and you think that things are, the best days are ahead, but the culture's not looking too great for the church. Things look difficult for the church out there. Things look hard, and maybe you're just idealistic and young and haven't seen enough yet. Granted, I get that. But I want to tell you this morning, my belief that the best days are ahead for Christ Church is not based on the culture, but on Christ's ability to keep his promise that he will build his church. So let's look at Matthew chapter 16. You know this passage. Jesus had asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they give a few examples. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, in reply to Peter, makes a proclamation, a promise, a prophecy about the prospects of the church. And here's what Jesus says. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, I perhaps, if the culture will allow, build my church. It's not what he says. He says, I will build my church. No conditions. But what about Satan and his attempts to stop it? What about Satan's attempts to stop the advance of the kingdom of Christ? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a statement, a proclamation, a promise, a prophecy about the prospects of Christ's church. Sometimes we read this passage and think of the gates of hell kind of like the horror movies where a demon is chasing someone and they run into the church and the demon can't chase them into the church because there's like a gate right there and they can't cross the gate into the church. If y'all have ever seen those movies, I bet you have. You just don't want to admit it this morning. And so, but that's how that functions. And I think we sometimes think of this passage that way, that the gates of hell will never somehow come upon Christ's territory in the church. That's defensive. This passage is offensive. Here's what it's saying, that in a city in the ancient times would build a gate to keep all the foreign enemies and the kingdoms out there, out of their city, right? It's to keep the kingdoms out. And it's saying, the gates of hell out there in our community, those places where Satan is ruling out there in our community, those places of darkness, those places trapped in sin, those places are gates of hell, and the gates of hell are trying to keep those places secure from the kingdom that is advancing. But what this is saying is, when Christ comes marching into our community, that the gates of hell will not be able to stop him. That when Jesus comes knocking, the gates of hell fall down and Christ claims his territory. And so what Jesus is saying is, I am committed to building my church and Satan himself cannot stop me. I am committed to building my church and hell itself cannot stop me because I am the one who ultimately, he's saying, will go and die and rise again, and the one who has defeated all his enemies will triumphantly build his church, even Temple Baptist Church. And so this morning, I believe that that Jesus is more committed to our success than you, than me, than our former pastor, Brother Eddie, or any of our staff members. Jesus wants Temple's best days to be ahead more than any of us. And he's good at keeping his promises. But if we're going to be a church whose best days are ahead, there are three things that I think are essential for that to happen. And so this morning, I want to look at three things, three marks of a church whose best days are ahead. Three marks of a church whose best days are ahead. The first, a church whose best days are ahead cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power. This is the word we get dynamite from. It is the dynamite power of God for salvation. And what a claim that this good news is the power of God for salvation. There's nothing else you can believe in that will save other than the good news of Jesus. And this good news of salvation is to everyone who believes. It's open to anyone who will believe and trust in Christ, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's saying everyone. The power of the gospel is powerful enough to save the most sinful sinner, the most far prodigal. The gospel has the power to save. And we live in a culture that where there is a temptation to water things down. We live in a culture where churches are tempted to water things down, to try to tickle ears, and try to make people feel great when they come to church and not give them the truth of the gospel that can actually set them free. We're tempted to water things down, but I want to tell you, we as a church, if we want to have our best days ahead, we cannot water down the gospel, but instead we must proclaim it, we must sing it, we must celebrate it, and we must share the good news of Jesus because we're not ashamed of it at all. It's our only hope. It's all we've got. The gospel is simply the good news of the life, death, and resurrection and what that means for us. So I've got a couple quotes I want to share with you that I think give some insight onto the gospel. First is by John Piper. It should be on the screen there. The Christian gospel, the gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So it's news. It's newsworthy. It's a proclamation. It's not subjective. It's news, and it's not fake news. It's news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, which means that he lived a perfect life, the righteous one, that he died for our sins. It means he died in our place. He was crucified for us, and he really died. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And check this part out. I love this definition because of this. It says, he is eternally triumphant over all his enemies. Eternally triumphant over all his enemies. Sin, he beat that. Hell, he beat that. Satan, he beat him. Your sin, he defeated it. And you see, Jesus is eternally triumphant over all his enemies. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who believe. You may not use that word a lot, but let me tell you what this means. It means if you believe in Christ, that one day you will stand before God and he will look at your life and he will look at all the things you have done and he won't weigh it out. He will look at it with what Christ has done for you and he will look at your life and he will declare not just not guilty, but he will look at your life and because of the blood of Christ that was shed for you, he will look at you and say, innocent, welcome home. My son, my daughter, in whom I am well pleased because of the blood of Christ. That's good news. The Christian gospel, Tim Keller says, is that I'm so flawed that Jesus had to die for me. Amen to that? Yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. Amen to that too? This leads to deep humility and deep confidence at the same time. It undermines both swaggering and sniveling. I cannot feel superior to anyone, and yet I have nothing to prove to anyone. I do not think of more of myself nor less of myself. Instead, I think of myself less. That's insightful. You see, the gospel is about how sinners become saints. Lost people are found. Blind people see. And if we want to have our best days ahead, Temple Baptist Church, we can't be ashamed of the message of the gospel. It's our only hope. Instead, we must scream it from the rooftops. Temple, we cannot try to water down the message of the gospel. Instead, we must unleash it and unleash its power on our community. That's why we do the gospel project with our kiddos. We do the gospel project in Sunday school and in kids' worship time because we want our kids to understand the good news of Jesus is on every page of the Bible. And so each week they learn how the good news is pointed to from every page of our scriptures. And we're so excited as they are built up in the Lord. But if we want to have our best days ahead, we must never be ashamed of the gospel. It must be our badge of honor. Second, if we want our best days to be ahead, we must have a laser-like focus on making fully mature disciples. We need a laser-like focus on making fully mature disciples. You see, churches can do all kinds of things. Churches can get caught up in all kinds of activities and sometimes lose their mission. And we must be like a laser focused on making fully mature disciples. Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Everyone mature in Christ. There's a crisis in the church today in America. We have people who attend church but know little of the Bible. We have people who attend church but live pretty much just like the world. We have people who attend church but aren't growing in their relationship with Christ. They know the same amount of the Bible they did 20 years ago. They're still not sharing with the people they've been called to share with. They haven't taken any next steps in the last year in their growth with Christ. They're not becoming fully mature disciples. But if we want to be a church who has our best days ahead, we must be concerned with not just that people come to know Christ, but that they reach their full potential in Christ. You see, one of the things that I am committed to as your pastor is that every member reaches their full potential in Christ. Because I'm committed that we as a church can reach our full potential in Christ. Wouldn't that be great that we as a church could become all that Jesus wants us to be, to reach our full potential as a body? Can you imagine that when Temple becomes all that Jesus wants her to be, that she reaches her full potential in Christ? Wouldn't that be amazing to see that happen? But you know what's required for that? For every member to reach their full potential. Temple will only reach its full potential when each of her members reach theirs. I once was told that, Brady, if you want your church to be healthier, then you need to be most concerned with being the healthiest Christian you possibly can be. If you want your church health to improve, which I pray we all do, then that means we must be concerned with our own personal growth and our own personal health. If every member is concerned with their own spiritual growth and their own concern for being healthy spiritually, then when we all come together, we'll be a healthier body together. But for us to do this, it's going to require young people, middle-aged people, and our seasoned Christians, right? It's going to require all of us working together in unity to help one another reach our full potential in Christ. What amazing thing that God has done is putting us together. This is why we are committed, and this is why we're so committed to discipleship of all ages. But if we're going to be a church whose best days are ahead, we have to be radically committed to ministering to the next generation. We have to be radically committed to our student ministries and our kids' ministries. So, we are very intentional about seeing our children grow up and know the scriptures. It's why we do Gospel Project. It's why we do Awana. And I'm so thankful for all of our volunteers who participate in those programs, because we want to see the next generation. If our best days are ahead, then that means the next pastor of this church might be in the nursery. Next leaders, maybe right now studying. We have deacons before long who are right now in student ministry. You see, if our best days are ahead, then that means we need to invest in the next generation of kids and students. But we also love young families. We're a church who loves young families. We're so thankful for all of them. We're so thankful. Last year, we dedicated 11 babies, and I imagine we're going to dedicate that or more this year. We're having so many babies around here, I'm thinking we should all get together and be able to get a church family discount at the hospital. But aren't you glad we're a church that has a lot of babies? And this means that our future is incredibly bright if we steward that responsibility well, because we have young families. And I want to tell you, it is not normal for young families to attend church faithfully. That is abnormal in our culture. So I'm so thankful for each of our young families who come week by week through the hard times of getting your children ready for church. I know nothing about it because I come before that. That's all on Jennifer. That's why I became a pastor, actually. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I am so thankful for you who go through the hard work of being here, and your kids will benefit from your attendance and faithfulness here at church. And so we, young families, we're so glad that you are here. You see, we are a church who's committed for everyone to reach their full potential. That's why we believe that our best days are ahead, because we want to have a laser-like focus on everyone reaching their full potential. That's why we hired a discipleship pastor. We believe that our best days are ahead because we are going to be a church who makes disciples who make other disciples. Do you see that? And if you're a church who makes disciples who make other disciples, then your best days are ahead. So the first thing was, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. And second, we must have a laser-like focus on making disciples, fully mature disciples. And third, we must be radically committed to seeing our community transformed. Radically committed to seeing our community transformed. There's a lot of passages that I could have chosen to kind of highlight this point, but I think this one kind of does in a unique way. Jeremiah 29:7. If you know the setting of Jeremiah, and here in 29, the people of God are in exile, and it's written to the people who live in a foreign place with a foreign leader over them, that they're not in their home. And I want you to know that if you are a Christian, your home is not in Gainesville or Cook County. Your home is in heaven. Your citizenship is there. Gainesville and Cook County is not your home. It's your assignment. So let's read this passage, 29:7. But seek the welfare of the city. But seek, we could say, the welfare of Gainesville and Cook County, where I have sent you into exile. It's not your home. It's your assignment. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. We love our community. I really believe we do. We love this area. We love our community. But are we broken over it? There's a lot of hard things going on in our community. Just read the newspaper. Drugs, sex trafficking, broken marriages, addictions. Are we broken over our community? Are we praying for it? Are we praying that God will do a great work here in Gainesville and Cook County? Are we broken over our community? Are we praying for it, seeking the welfare of the city? Because the better the city is, the better the prospects will be for us, he's saying in Jeremiah 29. You see, we're not here by accident. Temple Baptist Church doesn't happen to be located in Gainesville and Cook County. Instead, it has been strategically designed by God from before the world existed that Temple Baptist Church would exist with these people in this time, in this season, to reach this community. We have been selected by God to do this task. William Temple once said, "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Think about that for a second. The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. Well, here's what this means. It means that Temple Baptist Church exists for the guy who right now is far from God and who has not yet thought about coming to church. We exist to be a light in our community. We exist to be a holy disruption to the gates of hell that exist in our community. Jesus has a plan to go into the gates of hell in this area and flatten them. And do you know who he's sending? Do you know what troops he's sending to go into the gates of hell and storm the gates of hell and claim territory for Christ by the proclamation of the gospel? Do you know who he's assigned to do that? It's you and me and Temple Baptist Church. Christ has a plan to reach Gainesville and Cook County. Sometimes I just don't think we realize that we're the plan. As we look towards the future, we must ask the question, how can we make a difference in our community? How can we make a difference among those struggling with addiction, joblessness, broken families, struggling with sin, broken marriages. How can we make a difference there? It's going to be hard. But Jesus commands us to take the gospel into every area. There is no place, there is no people group, there is no segment of society that Jesus does not have claim over and does not want their worship. You see, things may be dark in our community at times, but I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the gates of hell may be out there, but when Jesus comes marching, the gates fall down. And so, I truly believe, Temple Baptist Church, that our best days are ahead. That's why we moved here. That's why we moved and bought a house across the street. That's why we've staked our lives here. If we didn't think the best days were ahead for Temple Baptist Church, we wouldn't have moved here. But we truly believe God has great things in store for us. But if we're going to be a church whose best days are ahead, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must have a laser-like focus on making fully mature disciples, and we must be committed to seeing our community transformed by the power of the gospel. Over 50 years ago, a group of people gathered at a charter member's home and began to pray about starting a new church that would eventually become Temple Baptist Church. But I wonder, as they gathered to pray and began to discuss and imagine a church together, I wonder, could they have imagined all that Temple would one day be? I bet they couldn't have imagined the lives that would be touched, the lives, the people's marriages that would be saved, addictions that would be broken, people coming to know the Lord. I bet they couldn't have imagined all that God was going to do as they gathered together and prayed that first time together. But the Lord has done great things over those 50 years. But it's 2019, and we are at a moment of great importance in the history of Temple Baptist Church. And for the next few weeks, what I want us to do together is to look into the next 50 years and begin to imagine all the lives that are going to be touched, the marriages saved, addictions broken, people saved. And imagine together all that God might do in our midst. And as we begin to imagine what God might do, let us remember that it's more than just an attendance board with hymn numbers on it. It's real people and real lives. And let's remember the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, I believe our best days are ahead. As long as we're not ashamed of the gospel, we're focused on making disciples, and we're committed to reaching our community. I can't wait to see what happens. And I just bet it'll even be better than we can imagine. Let's pray together.
This concludes a message from Temple Baptist Church. For more information about Temple, or becoming a member, or just visiting for the first time, visit our website at tbcgainesville.org.